brought to you by Penguin. Foursome by Jane Fallon, read by Tracy Ann Oberman.
1.
This isn't happening.
I'm serious, Alex is saying, except that he's had a few drinks, so it comes out more like, I'm serious, which almost makes me laugh. But then I remember the awful melodrama that I've somehow found myself starring in. You're drunk, I say, getting up from the sofa to put more physical space between us. You should go to bed. Alex stands up and makes a move towards me.
Just because I've had a couple doesn't mean that what I'm saying isn't true. It just means I've finally got the courage to say it. I love you, Rebecca. I always have. Oh, God, there it is again. That statement that makes my stomach turn over. And not in a good, I've been waiting for you to say that kind of way. More like I could be sick from a combination of the wine and the very idea that Alex is saying these things. Daniel, my husband, is asleep, by the way, upstairs in our bedroom. Why wouldn't he be? It's 1 in the morning, and he's never had any reason to worry about leaving Alex and me alone together. Until now. Suddenly, I'm angry with Alex. It's bad enough that he could be saying this at all. But with Daniel, the evidence, if any, was needed that I'm not available to be propositioned, asleep above our heads. Sweet, funny, clever Dan, who has never been anything but loyal to both of us. I decide that I want this conversation to end now. Alex, you're being ridiculous. It's late and we're drunk and you don't know what you're saying. Go to bed, okay? Alex leans forward, puts his hand on my arm. I shrug it away.
Don't tell me you don't feel the same, he says.
And for a second time I think, is this my fault? Have I somehow allowed him to think that this might be true? Did I catch his eye and hold his gaze for too long one night after I'd had a couple of drinks? And then I realise no, definitely not, because I have never for a moment in our 20-year friendship thought about Alex as anything other than a friend. Fancying him would be like fancying my brother. It has literally never occurred to me. I ought to let him down gently. He's been through a lot lately, all of his own making but nonetheless, and is obviously losing his mind. But I'm angry with him. How dare he read something into our relationship that simply isn't there? How dare he be disloyal to Dan like this?
Absolutely not, I say slightly too loudly. You're my friend, Alex. I'm not in love with you. I couldn't... Just the idea of it...
Okay, I tell myself he must have got the point by now. But I can't stop. I want to punish him. It makes me feel sick. I mean, really, it's perverse. God, I could never... Alex looks like he's sobered up in an instant.
Fine, he says curtly. I get it.
He turns on his heel and walks out. And a few seconds later, I hear the front door slam. For a moment, I start to worry about where he's going to go at 1 in the morning, and without his coat, which is still draped over the back of one of the chairs. But then I think that's his problem. He's a grown man. He can take care of himself.
2.
Rebecca and Daniel, Alex and Isabel. It was the four of us for as long as I can remember, at least ever since Daniel and Alex, best friends since they were 12, advertised for 2 flatmates to share their run-down rented second-year house in Windsor, and chose first Isabel and then me, because they thought we looked like we might put out, as Dan once so delicately put it, which we did in the end, although I'd held out till Christmas. We'd thought about advertising again, once we'd coupled up into 2 of the 4 rooms. We were students, we needed the money, but we liked it just being the four of us. We felt like a family. And that's how it stayed for the next 2 decades. After college, we rented flats in London, a few streets from each other. We had our weddings and then our babies in quick succession. We spent Christmases and birthdays and New Year's Eves together. We were a unit. We didn't need anyone else. Until a couple of months ago, that is, when Alex suddenly announced that he wanted out. There was no big drama. No one else was involved. He just decided he needed to move on. He felt stifled, he said, like he'd been in one place for too long and he needed to get out and see what else the world had to offer. He had left the girls, 8-year-old twins, Nicola and Natalie, with Isabel, and he'd moved into a new home which was conveniently waiting for him only a few streets away.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?